Connecting the Dots. I'm your host, Mark Shea, and we are here on this fantastic Monday, the last Monday in August, and also it's another very significant last Monday.
Yes.
Well, it was the last Monday of Gene Wilder's life, sadly. Gene Wilder died today. Gene Wilder, who was all these great movies, like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, The Good One, and Young Frankenstein, and Blazing Saddles, and all these other great
Blazing things. I think the producers have been his greatest.
The producers is pretty great. It's true. He was even in, which a lot of people forget, he was also in Bonnie and Clyde, of all things, playing as Gene Wilder always played. Yeah, he was in Bonnie and Clyde. He was like this nebbish guy in Bonnie and Clyde who winds up getting taken as a hostage or something. And
I don't remember that.
Playing, you know, kind of playing the same character that he played in The Producers and numerous other movies. Although I got to say, he sort of broke out of the nebbishy role and eventually became, well, for example, in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, he wasn't a nebbish at all. He was just kind of terrifying.
Yeah. I thought that was a horrible miscast, to be no disparagement of Gene Wilder. May his soul rest in peace. But I did not enjoy that movie at all. I don't know.
Stuff of nightmares, you know. It was one of those movies that scared little kids that went to see it. But, you know, that's kind of what rolled doll stories do.
Yeah, I think it would be better to sort of leave this to your imagination. Doll books are so weird. James and the Giant Peach. I mean, it's bad to imagine that kind of thing, but seeing it actually acted out and fleshed out is kind of, I wish people
did not. And I should add, we're also here, tragically, I was toying with Simca there a little bit, because we're also here, alas, on the last Monday of Simca Fisher's tenure with Connecting the Dots. I regret to say.
Regret it too.
I regret it. Everybody, we're just full of regrets. So, Simca is moving on. It turns out that she still has 10 kids. It's been like a year, and none of them have left or anything. And so she's got like all these family responsibilities, like right at this hour.
Yes, it's a pretty rough hour.
And so finally, I
admit, I don't mind hiding at the dinner hour. I do not mind disappearing into my room for an hour at the dinner time hour. But my husband is not home at this hour, and that means that it's up to the kids to, you know, feed and take care of themselves. And it's not their favorite particular, especially with Corey, who is 18 months old. You know how you always hear about the terrible twos. I think 2-year-olds are great. I love 2-year-olds. 18-month-olds, however, are barely human. Just barely human. I love that baby. And when she's in a good mood, it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. And when she's asleep, it's a wonderful thing. But when she, oh my gosh, when she gets mad, it's just like, it's like one of those, she's like, if she were an X-Men, The Incredibles, you know, the Jack-Jack, the baby Jack-Jack, where they find out his superpowers at the end. That's pretty much what she's like, except she has more endurance than he does. So it seemed like the right thing to do to help out my children with my other children at this difficult time.
Well, I understand completely, and but you know, I'm still going to sulk and resent it and feel bad and miss you. So, but on the good side, and it sounds like she may even be here. I'm double checking. We're gonna do the baton toss here. We have our new Monday co-host, Sherry Antonetti.
Hi.
Hello. And there's Sherry Antonetti, and Sherry is she's going to be taking over here on Mondays. You know what, Sherry?
What?
In case it affects your bandwidth, you don't have to have the camera screeny thing on because this is a radio. So,
okay, good. Okay, good.
I can't tell how relieved I was to figure that out the first time. I was like,
saving your bandwidth. That's great. But, Simca is handing off the baton. We will now have the baton handoff music. Go ahead, hand off the baton.
I've taken the baton.
Okay, Sherry Antonetti is being handed the baton now by Simca Fisher. Simca Fisher will be here through the rest of the show, but she's handing off the baton as of today to Sherry Antonetti. So let me introduce. Oh, Dan. That's pretty good. Looks like Simca accidentally got booted off by Skype. Is that symbolic or what? But they'll try and get her back on.
Virtual track is the only kind I can do, so thanks for the handoff of the baton.
Sure. Well, yeah. Skype just kicked Simca off the air in a symbolic gesture. We'll now say cruel mocking things Ethan tries to get her back on. Oh, okay. Simca, is that you? No, it's not. Okay, well, anyway. So let me introduce Sherry a little bit. Sherry Antonetti is a freelance writer for a bunch of publications. She's written for Alatea, for the National Catholic Register, for CatholicMom.com, for the Catholic Standard.
I'm losing you.
What's that?
I thought I got booted off for a second. That's all.
Ah, okay. Yeah. So this is Skype technical difficulties are just one of the many services that I offer here. She's also a mother of 10. One son with special needs. She's the author.
I can't hear.
Can't hear me?
I can't hear you.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll see what we can get figured out.
It works now. It's worked now. Sorry.
I can hear you.
Yes.
Hey,
I think you're on the air.
Okay.
And look, it's Simca Fisher back.
And me.
Okay. Great. And she's also the author of a work of historical fiction called The Book of Helen. I don't know if it's about Helen of Troy or perhaps Helen, the mother of Constantine. I'm not sure.
Helen of Troy.
Okay. Helen of Troy. And she has a master's in special ed.
It was about Helen of Troy. I decided after that. Having kids, I didn't have enough to do, so I thought I should write a book.
that's good. That's good. That's
hello?
Good. Hello. Are you cutting in and out again?
I'm trying. Okay. I think we're violating some fire codes right now. Yes.
Are we? Okay.
Yes.
Hey guys, I'm back on now. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Come on.
Okay.
Okay. I'm hoping
it stops being wonderful. So.
Okay.
Yes.
So, how do you guys know each other?
Well, I read her writings on faith and family.
Okay.
Oh, that was a long time ago.
Uh huh.
There wasn't even a faith and family anymore. That was some time back. So we must have kind of connected through Facebook, like all great friendships, right?
Right. Okay. Exactly. That's how it works. Plus, you know, once you have more than five, you start looking for other people for support systems just to get tips on survival.
Okay. Right. Yeah, we all know each other. I mean,
okay. So, where I'm not sure where you live, Sherry.
I live just outside of Washington, D.C. in Montgomery County, Maryland. Very pretty. Very scenic and very crazy because it's right near DC. Right. So.
So, and another mother of 10. So there, you know, mothers of 10, they're pretty much a dime a dozen, I think.
Yeah. Well, really.
Virtually all my Monday co-hosts have been mothers of 10.
Sherry, what are the ages of children? What's the age range? Your kids are older than mine, I think.
They are. My oldest is 23, and then my youngest is 5. Just had her first day of kindergarten today.
Oh,
yeah.
And how did she like it? Is she home?
She's home. She didn't even look back. She just got on the bus and said bye.
Yep. Yeah. Really?
That's really? How my kids were. It was the very first time I sent her off to kindergarten, and I sent her off for a half day because I thought, well, you know, this is horrible. She's going to be a mess. You know, she's never been away from me. We're all going to die. And I showed up, and she started crying because she did not want to come home with me. She wanted to stay. So we started all day kindergarten.
There you go. Well, with my daughter, she's been counting down the days. How many more days? How many more days? And it's, you know, for the last 2 weeks since she got her lunchbox, we've been waiting to go.
Yeah. Once you get the supplies, they're raring to go. We try and last week or so of vacation fairly boring because so that they won't, you know, they're not dreading school. They're looking forward to it. So. You know, we pretend that's the plan. It just kind of works out that way. But.
I like that. I'm going to do that next summer.
That's great. Well, we're up against the break, but we'll be back right after this. You're listening to Connecting the Dots. Okay. And we're here today with Simka Fisher and Sherry Antonetti, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to Breadbox Media. Find out more at breadboxmedia.com.
The dots. I'm your host, Mark Shea. I will continue to be your host, Mark Shea. I will be here for you. I'm not going to leave. I'm not going to leave. I'll be here for you.
He is not the guy.
I love you, listener, and I'm not leaving. We're here today on the last Monday of Simka Fisher's tenure here. She's got other things she's got to be doing, and I understand completely that she's got to go. But I figure, what good is there, being on the air if I can't make her feel terrible? So that's.
Okay. And, oh, I thought so.
and we're handing the baton off to our brand new Monday co-host, Sherry Antonetti. I'm so happy that Sherry is here to join us today.
Thank you.
And yes, she is a Catholic mother of 10. I was mentioning before the break that virtually every Monday co-host I've ever had is a mother of 10. And
it's a prerequisite.
It's kind of a prerequisite, yeah. And she writes for all kinds of Catholic outfits. She's written for Alatea. She's written for the National Catholic Register. She's written for who else have you written for?
Catholic Digest, the Faith and Family blog before it, back when it was a thing, and also. I'm sorry, you asked me a question. I blank out immediately.
That's all right. I do that all the time. And the author of the Book of Helen.
Yes.
A blogger as well. And anyway, so we've been Simka and Sherry have been comparing notes about their families and their ages and just catching up a little bit. You guys have known each other for quite some time now, haven't you?
I didn't even realize it had been that long. That's kind of amazing. I remember when the Book of Helen came out. That was I think that was when. What year was that, Sherry?
It was in 2013. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
you just decided to fit it in your spare time because
I didn't want to fold socks. Yeah. I'm writing my book. I can't fold socks.
Right. And then there are those times when you suddenly get this horrible urge to clean and you're like moving your stove and stuff. And that's when you realize, oh, I have this deadline. I was supposed to get it out, you know, 2,800 words on something I do not care about. In 3 hours. I really must do the windows now. It's amazing how motivating it can be to do something else.
That is true.
Yeah, let me ask you something. Do you guys get, like, at certain times of year, do you get, like, a nesting instinct that starts going where you have to, like, completely rearrange the house and do all this stuff? Mm-hmm. Is that a thing with you guys?
No. I get a purging instinct. Like, let's get rid of all this stuff, please.
Well, that's part of it. That's part of it. It's just, you know, we must improve the house. There's a giant home improvement urge. This seizes my wife now and then. She's in the middle of one of these right now.
Yeah. So it's definitely a lady thing. That's definitely. And it's, yeah, I mean, and my husband has, he experiences a version of this, but it's usually like when he tries to get up off the couch and he can't because it's that sticky, you know, this is when the urge suddenly falls upon him to do something about that. Like, he puts his beard on the arm of the chair and it just sort of sinks in because there's no we have a built-in drink holder in our couch, which was originally there.
That's
the farms that have been visited upon. And we paid money for that thing. We paid actual money. It wasn't on the side of the road or anything.
No, what I do is Sunday, at some point, I tell everyone that it's time to clean. And basically, I force it. I'm like a little rain thundercloud that goes through the house saying we have to clean now. Yeah. And there will be no fun until it's clean.
Yeah. Sherry, okay. do you have like a regular chore routine where certain people are in charge of certain things? Or
I can't lie and say that I do because I don't. I've tried it over the years. And the problem is mostly that I'm not organized. And so I have mother of all ambitions on everything, but how much execution, that's a little iffy.
That's insane. I mean, you have to follow through. You can't tell the kids like, okay, now here's your job. Go do it. You know, check back with me when it's done. Work that way.
Although my 17-year-old is cooking dinner, so I will say that, and that's nice. Awesome.
That's wonderful. Mm-hmm. And yeah, boy, that's one thing I have to say. That's one thing we accomplished over the summer. Just about all of my kids can make their own eggs now.
That's good.
And now they're learning the finer points, like, you know, turning the burner off when you're done, not screwing newspapers around to sop up the extra egg when the burner is still on. Fire.
So that's fire bad. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. We start simple.
Well, we become grill masters this summer because our double oven wasn't working for 2 months of the summer. And so while we were waiting for an oven to be given to it, you know, come from the warehouse and get to us, we barbecued everything. We learned you could barbecue pie. That was a new one.
Barbecue pie?
Yes.
What sort of pie, I'm curious to know?
It was an apple pie. We just put it on a cookie sheet and put it out on the grill. So we barbecued pie.
Okay. That's colorful. I've never done that. You know what's good on a barbecue?
Desperate.
You know what's good on a barbecue?
What's good on a barbecue?
What's good on a barbecue is corn that you wrap in tin foil.
Yes. That's right.
So good.
Yes.
Good. Put some butter in there with it so it kind of cooks in the butter and stuff. And yeah, it's pretty la la.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So. It looks like the fancy pants because you have to have things charred. Charred things. Fancy for some reason. And then you sprinkle some leaf clippings or, you know, some grass clippings on it. It's
Carsley. Looks fancy. No, if the food looks too fancy, my kids won't eat it. So we can't do fancy. Must be plain. Must be primary colors of what the food is supposed to be. You know,
can't have
nothing new.
So, what? Now that you're done with the radio show, I'm just sort of curious. What happens next, Simca? Are you going to Disneyland? Because that's what people traditionally do in these transitional pivotal moments. And which means, of course, also, Sherry, you should go to Disneyland too, because this is also a transitional pivotal moment for you.
That sounds good to me.
Everything's
Whereas I'm just like staying the same and not changing anything at all, so I don't get to go to Disneyland. So
see, I think Simca and I should go to Disneyland. Everyone else can stay. We're the one transitioning. Yeah.
Okay.
You know, my kids have never been to Disneyland. My kids have never been into anything close to Disneyland. I went one time when I was dating my then boyfriend, Damien Fisher, and because he lived in Los Angeles at the time. And I went to Disneyland.
That guy has the same name as the guy you married, too.
I know.
So weird.
Don't tell him. I'm still thinking about him, though. It would be weird.
Okay.
But anyway, so I went to Disneyland, and it was, this is going to sound stupid, but it was fun. It was a lot of fun, and I was not expecting it to be a lot of fun for some reason, because I was thinking, I was thinking it would be, like, super commercialized and super cheesy and just, I don't know, like obnoxious and I don't know what I thought. It would be. For some reason, I didn't think it was going to be fun, and I was just amazed at what a good time. And then I was like, well, of course it's fun. It's Disneyland. Like, why would it not be fun? I thought it was going to be awful. It's such a good time. But don't tell my kids, because we totally cannot afford to bring them to Disneyland. I don't even know how. Can you imagine how much that would be? I don't even know.
I can tell you that five years ago. Gosh, I'm losing my brain. We drove down to Florida, and we stayed at a house, and we went to Disney World for a day. Most of the time we stayed at the house and swam in the pool, but we stayed there for a day, and it was a lot of fun, even with all 10. So,
yeah. Okay.
I thought it was going to be terrifying. I was certain I was going to lose at least 4 children.
I went to Disneyland in like 1974. We went down there at Christmas time to visit my uncles and decided we got to go to Disneyland. And the main thing I remember about, there's like a couple of things I remember about it. One was like the African jungle ride thing. And I also remember they had just opened the haunted house, and I thought the haunted house thing was super cool.
Yes, the haunted mansion is awesome.
Haunted mansion thing. And I think that was before there was any like Pirates of the Caribbean stuff or any of that stuff. Mm-hmm. But it was just it was like all American. That's the main impression that it left on me. Everything was like clean and neat all the time. And once you went in, my parents probably paid like $3,000 to get in there. I have no idea what it cost to go in. But I was just a kid. So I just went in and on my parents' dime. And thanks, Mom. Thanks, Dad. Because, you know, this is expected of you to pay my way for these things. So I will have gratitude like 20 years from now.
Right.
I enjoy. I've never been to the one out in Florida, but
it's nice.
Okay. Hey, well, you're listening to Connecting the Dots. I'm your host, Mark Shea. And we're here today with Simca Fisher, the outgoing Simca Fisher, and the incoming Sherry Antonetti. And we'll be back right after this.
Redbox Media now is a great way for you to go deeper with your favorite show or shows in our programming lineup. With our Friend of the Show opportunity, you get extra exclusive content from your favorite show hosts and lots of extra love from the shows and hosts you love. Become a friend of the show by clicking on the link on our website or app menu. Your $10 monthly premium membership will unlock an exclusive world just for you. Support your favorite show today as a friend of the show. Friend of the Show premium memberships exclusively for you with Redbox Media.
Connecting the Dots. I'm your host, Mark Shea, and we are here today with Simca Fisher, outgoing Simca Fisher, incoming Sherry Antonetti. There was a little bit of a kerfuffle today on Facebook and consequently on my blog. One of the things that people do is I was talking about this actually with Steve Gardonis on Friday. There are people who, will pass on rumors.
Yep.
Of things that they've heard, and that's understandable. You hear something, there's such a thing as confirmation bias. So you'll hear some rumor that some saint said something that you really wish that they'd said, and it agrees with what you think. So they probably would have said it if they'd thought of it, even if they didn't actually say it.
If they had thought of it, if they had only consulted you, they definitely
would have said it. And I get that there's such a thing as confirmation bias and people just passing on rumors, but there are also people who just lie. They just make stuff up. Uh-huh. And the thing that really gets me is when people lie for Jesus. Jesus needs me to lie for him so that my agenda, which of course is also Jesus's agenda, because if Jesus had thought of it, he would have said this too. just does this whole, it just drives me nuts. And so one thing that you'll find floating around out there is it's very commonly attributed to Mother Teresa that the saddest thing that she ever saw was people receiving communion in the hand. It just, receiving communion in the hand just makes baby Jesus cry. And it makes Mother Teresa cry and all this. And the thing is, look, I personally don't generally tend to receive communion in the hand. I usually receive communion on the tongue. But here's the thing. That's just me.
Yeah.
Because what Holy Church says is you can receive communion in your hand if you like. And really, Holy Church is the one that decides that kind of stuff.
Right. And point is to do it respectfully and reverently and trying at least to make some,
right.
Trying to be aware of what it is right. that you're receiving.
Right. And
for some people, doing that or receiving in the hand is the way to do it the most reverently.
Yes, exactly.
And the church allows us to do it. So.
And so my point was, I put up this meme that people circulate around with Mother Teresa is scolding you from heaven for receiving communion in the hand because you're a bad Catholic.
Yeah, you're a bad person.
And it turns out, here's a picture of Mother Teresa receiving communion in the hand, because guess what? She never, ever said that because she's Mother Teresa and has a lot of common sense. And really, when you think about it, this is somebody who worked on the street picking up people who were dying on the street.
Yeah.
People living in rats
and the filth.
It turns out that receiving communion in the hand really isn't, the saddest thing she's ever seen.
These people need to get out a little more. Yes.
Just get out a little more. And so I put up a thing there, just saying, there's a quote from St. Augustine. St. Augustine famously said, "God does not need my lie." There are things in the world that matter, and there are things in the world that just don't matter all that much. Among them are, if Holy Church says you may receive communion in the hand, then that's it. The church is, Rome has spoken, the matter is at an end. And we can take these things that are really secondary and not only turn them into, we can elevate them to sacred tradition when they're not,
yep.
but we can also shame and humiliate people who aren't doing anything wrong.
Yeah.
Because by among other things, putting a lie on the lips of Mother Teresa and then turning her into a weapon.
I've seen it done with where they have Judas is the one who took communion from the hand, and it was like, oh, it was horrible. I was like, no.
I don't even understand that. I don't think he was, I don't think that Jesus gave the rest of the disciples, I don't think he was putting bread and wine into their mouths.
I know.
I don't think so. That's not how people eat at that point.
Evangelization, you're doing it wrong.
Like that. Oh my gosh. Wow. Anyway, well, I thought that was worse because I had heard that and I thought, oh, gee. Because I receive in the hand for various reasons. I have various reasons for doing it. I don't especially need to go into it on the air because the church has said that I can do that and it's legitimate. But that was one of the quotes that always kind of made me feel bad, because I didn't think it had it. I had never read it as that it had the force of church law behind it, but I thought, it made me feel bad every single time. So that's a public service, Mark. I mean, two points: the just the idea of that Mother Teresa never said that. And number two, the reminder that the last, you know, if we do have this habit, we can fall into the habit, at least, especially if we're in the habit of, talking about our faith online and arguing about our faith a lot. We can fall into the habit of thinking that Jesus just can't get along without us. And, you know, he means well and put the Bible together. And that was awesome. But, you know, we'll take it from here, basically, and anything goes.
We'll help you out, Jesus, hey. You know?
Pretty much, I mean, who else thought that like that? Let me think. Oh, yeah, Satan. Like, you know, right? God made Adam and Eve, but, okay, we're going to take over from now, from here on.
Going to fix things.
Not cool. Yeah.
Misapplying to make what is lacking.
That's my parting message to everybody in the radio land. Try to be less like Satan if possible.
Always sound advice, you know, from so good. Sherry's going to, she will carry on that fantastic
legacy.
Be less satanic.
You know, 20% less satanic.
Yeah, so it's one of those things that gets me, you know. And sure, I recognize it's quite possible that whoever cooked up that meme is somebody who heard that rumor somewhere and believed it and said the world needs to know what Mother Teresa said. But sooner or later, if you trace that story back to its origin point, what you'll find is not a mistake but a lie, because she never said that. And somebody invented it because they felt the communion in the hand was just super duper important and everyone needs to agree with them. And this is, you know, part of one of the major functions of the magisterium. Garrison Keillor once remarked that his ancestors, who were Puritans, came to the United States, he said, because they sought the freedom to be harsher with themselves than English law allowed. And the thing is that throughout the history of the church, you know, we tend to think today in our more liberal culture that primarily what the magisterium's job is to crack the whip over lax Catholics and make sure that they toe the line and all the rest of it. But the reality is that for most of the history of the church and still today, you find that the real function of the magisterium is to tell Catholics who are being accused and beleaguered by super rigid Catholics that they could go easier on themselves than their Catholic brethren are telling them they can do. And so, you know, you get things like this. You know, you get the church saying, yeah, you can receive on the tongue or you can receive in your hand, and don't let fellow Catholics, you know, kick you around for not being harsh enough with yourself. And that's a really important function of the magisterium, is to show us where our liberty is as well as where our duties lie.
Yeah.
Because we got a lot of liberty as Catholics.
Yes, we do.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
One of my favorite things. But
I'm very grateful that the church is so forgiving of us. There's so much variety of options because I need them all.
Yes, I was talking to a friend today who said that his favorite thing is the sacrament of confession. He says he comes out of that out of the sacrament of confession feeling liberated every time. Yep. Just feels like $1 million. And I gotta say, I'm one of those people that agrees. You know? So
I recently found myself. I would, you know, he says, God, the Father of Mercy, says, you'd think I would know by now. You'd think I would know have the prayer memorized at this point. But you get absolution, and he says, okay, now, you know, now go in peace. And you're supposed to say, thanks be to God, or you're supposed to thank the priest, or you're supposed to say, amen. And every time I find myself saying, that's it? Like, just like that. There's not, nobody's going to hit me or anything. I don't just, you know.
Yeah.
It's amazing. It hits me. It hits me like that almost every single time. Like, I cannot believe that's it. It was really that easy. Because I hate going to confession. It's stupid, but I hate it so much. I have to force myself every single time. I was supposed to go last week, and there was no reason not to. I just didn't want to. I drove right past the church because I don't like to go. But I really like having gone to confession. It's the best. It's the absolute best. Well, there you have it.
One of the things that you can do, you're the only person in the world that can do it, is you can reveal the contents of your own confessions.
Yeah.
Nobody, if you accidentally overhear somebody's confession, which happens sometimes, you know, you're standing there. Well, we'll talk about it when we return. You're listening to Connecting the Dots. I'm your host, Father Jay. Your name is Simplification and Siri 1880. And we begin. Connecting the dots.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
Indicate we are back on the air, and we're here today with Simca Fisher and Sherry Antonetti. By the way, if you want to join the conversation, give us a call. We're at 1-573-4-BREAD-4. 1-573-4-BREAD-4. You can call us or you can text us at that number. You can also tweet us at Breadbox Media. How about that? This is the very last segment of the very last show that Simca Fisher will be doing with us as a regular co-host. We hope to have her back, but, you know, given that it is the very last segment, we thought it only appropriate to give Simca the airtime necessary for her to tell the duck joke.
Yes.
Super.
And important. The reason for this is because I have already thoroughly humiliated myself at least twice on live radio trying to tell the duck joke, which, you know, a 5-year-old moron could tell, let's face it. I mean, I know that I'm not actually completely defective, but I cannot tell a joke to save my life. So I figured the stakes are pretty low this time. And if I blow it again, then what are you going to do? Fire me? You know, I don't think so. So, all right, I'm going to tell it now. I'm going to go ahead and tell it. I'm going to tell the duck joke. So,
okay, right, the duck joke is the joke you're about to tell.
This is the duck
without
joke.
Further ado. And with no more preparatory remarks,
and no further ado,
and with no more interruptions from me,
one day, a duck walks into a bar, and he says to the bartender, "Do you have any duck food?" And the guy says, "No, you stupid duck, this is a bar, I don't have any duck food." And the duck goes, "Oh, okay." And he walks out again. So an hour later, the same duck walks into the same bar again, and he says, "Hey, you got any duck food?" And the guy says, "No, duck, stupid duck, this is a bar. We do not have any duck food. I already told you that." And the duck says, "Okay." And he walks out again. Hour later, "Oh, damn it, I messed it up again. I forgot it." All right. He says, all right, pretend I didn't say that last part. He says,
"You said damn on the air, and you have just vandalized."
No, have to fire me.
Papers.
Okay. Okay. He said, "When this show is over, you're finished."
Okay, good. Hold on for a minute. So he says, if you come in here and ask for duck food one more time, I'm going to nail your feet to the floor. So he says, "Okay." And he goes out again. And an hour goes by and he comes back and he says, wait a minute. He says,
This is a funny joke. This is the funniest joke ever. Finish the joke for me,
please. Oh my gosh. Says, do you have any hammers? And he says, no. And the duck says, do you have any nails? And he says, no. And then he says, okay, got any duck food?
Hedging his bets.
Okay, all right. So, I don't have any really jokes to follow that up with. That's
you don't
just
bet that you would.
It's disappointing, okay. Really.
I have a question for you, Mark. Is that better or worse than the time I threw up on the air?
Well, you know, that's a tough call. You know, there's plus and minus arguments for both of them, but yeah. I gotta say, I think the time you threw up on the air, what made the time you threw up on the air so great, yep, was that no one knew that you had thrown up on the air.
I know.
So discreet.
Very proud. I was so pregnant, and it was and there was just nothing was working right, and we were talking about vaccines, as I recall, and the ethics of vaccines, and whether it's okay to just make up science in order to tell people not to get vaccines. And I think that throwing up was really the only sensible response, actually. But I tried to keep myself.
It worked really well, you know. We just carried on with the discussion while you were busy hurling. And I think you like logged off or something, so we couldn't hear you puking, and then you came back on the air after you were done horking.
See, and you don't understand about me. I'm at the heart of me, I am a lady. And if I'm gonna throw up on the air, I turn my head.
Okay.
That's what I'm all about.
That's so beautiful, really. So I've never done anything like that.
Me neither.
Just a thing that I have failed to do.
Not on my bucket list.
So to speak, as it were. Yes, so... This is reality radio, and so we're doing fine things here. Well, you know, I guess this is probably as good a time to any to ask Sherry about, have you ever had to do something absolutely humiliating in a public way without being noticed? Is there
That's an interesting question.
Okay, well, that's a setup. When I was a teenager, I danced on stage of the jazz troupe, and we had these cute poodle skirt dresses that you were supposed to rip the skirt off and fling it, and you had pedal pushers underneath. And 8 counts into the music, my skirt fell off. It wasn't supposed to come off for another 2 minutes. Oh. And so I just kind of kicked it off the stage and kept going. But my parents were sitting up in the balcony of this very big theater while we were dancing for this live jazz band. And my father said to my mother, that's Sherry. They knew. No question. The person that lost her skirt, that's way back over there, with, you know, that's her.
Okay.
So there you go.
Awesome. I've never had anything like that happen. I'm trying to think. I did one time during a performance of, there was a musical called Sugar that was based on Some Like It Hot.
Uh-huh.
And I was in that in college. And so there's this scene, because it's a musical, they have this dance scene where, you know, the band arrives at the the home for old geezers, these, you know, lecherous old geezers who are all chasing after the women's jazz band that the heroes are traveling around with. And so there was supposed to be like this whole dance routine that was all like old geezers in wheelchairs chasing after girls. And so anyway, and it was all choreographed and everything. And so at one point in the choreography, I was supposed to grab this girl and pull her onto my lap in the wheelchair. Yeah. And then she was supposed to get up and run away, and I was supposed to chase some other girl off stage and then stay off stage for a second and then come back out on, you know, chasing some other girl. And anyway, so during this, it was in right in the middle of a performance. So big audience out there in front of us and everything. And I grab the girl like I'm supposed to, and I pull her onto my lap, and I'm supposed to brace her to keep her from like falling off the other side of the wheelchair. So I've got my arm in her back to keep her from falling off. Well, she comes flying onto my lap extra fast, and she smashes into the palm of my hand, driving my elbow into the arm of the wheelchair at high velocity, and just hit my funny bone. Super hard. And it was just excruciating. It was so painful. And I thought I thought I was going to faint. It hurt so bad. But, you know, you can't faint because you're on stage and there's hundreds of people watching you doing your number, right?
Yes.
And so I just sort of blindly went through the routine, just sort of seeing through a mist of pain, and went off stage. And I just sat there for a minute, you know, and then I was supposed to chase the girl back on. And I remember just sitting there, and I looked at somebody off stage, and I said, "Oh," and then I chased her back onto the stage. But by the time the number was over, the entire right half of my hand, my ring finger and my little finger on my left hand, was like completely numb. And I couldn't feel my fingers at all. And I was afraid, like, I've done permanent damage to the nerve. I will never be able to feel those fingers again. So now I'm not only in pain, but I'm scared.
Yeah.
And so went through the whole rest of the show, and I never did regain the feeling in those fingers for like a couple of days. Well, it turned out shocked. It turns out that your funny bone nerve is called your ulnar nerve. So it turned out I'd shocked my ulnar nerve, but it was all in public. And there's that weird, you know, that's that weird mixture of perhaps I should call an ambulance, but no, I have to do the show.
You are a true showman. True showman.
The show must go on.
Did anybody else notice, though? Could anybody tell from the audience that anything had happened? Did anybody?
I don't think anybody noticed that anything had happened because I'm a consummate professional, Sivka. You know, so for example, right now I am having a major myocardial infarction, but you would never know. So there we go.
The only way to do video.
Yeah. So we're down to the last minute and a half. I just want to say, Sivka, thank you so much for your dedicated more than year and a half.
Overall
Connecting the Dots. And I want to welcome Sherry Antonetti, and we will see Sherry Antonetti next week.
Bye. And
we will be back tomorrow with Michael Litchens. You've been listening to Connecting the Dots. I'm your host, Mark Shea. Our co-hosts today were Sivka Fisher and Sherry Antonetti. Our producer was Ethan Boland, and we'll be back tomorrow on. Bye-bye. Thank you.